Welcome to Keep What You Earn, your judgment and jargon-free zone for entrepreneurs of all levels. Get ready to learn how to scale your business, save money in taxes, and create a business that grows your wealth. If it feels like the financial side of business is like eating your vegetables, well then think of this podcast as the ranch dressing to make the process a little more enjoyable. My name is Shannon Weinstein. I'm a CPA and business owner on a mission to simplify money and empower others through knowledge. I hope this episode inspires you to take action, but remember that the information we share is for educational purposes only and is not individual tax advice. Now that we got that out of the way, let's start the show. One skill that I appreciate greatly and something I've tried to cultivate myself is the skill to make something that is seemingly boring and stereotypically boring into something that's actually kind of fun, whether it be fun, funny, lighthearted, energetic, and infusing that into what is typically boring. And I was so excited to interview today's guest because I think she does exactly that on a daily basis. I really enjoy her content, not only as somebody who's kind of a nerd with this kind of stuff, and I appreciate the content anyway, but Kat, aka Miss Excel, really does make spreadsheets kind of fun. So let me tell you a little bit about Kat. Since she launched Miss Excel in June of 2020, she's grown to a seven-figure course sales business and a community of over 2 million people across her social media platforms. And she does this through viral Excel trick videos infused with creativity, music, and dance. Her trainings are known to make Excel fun and have been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Entrepreneur Magazine, CNBC, and over 50 global news outlets. She does trainings all over the country, and she just loves teaching Excel to people. And we're going to uncover her story in today's episode on how she started this business, how she got started with zero funnels, zero idea she had a business, and how she grew her audience immensely using just her natural ability to have fun. And that's what we're going to cover in today's episode. I'm so excited to share this content with you. Tune in because we're going to cover tomorrow a little bit more on the inner side of how Kat was able to scale her business. So write down everything you're going to learn today. Take some notes because she covers so many different pieces of content tips that you're definitely going to be able to utilize in your own business. Hey, Kat, welcome to Keep What You Earn.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for making the time. I'm really excited to chat with you. I'm an Excel nerd myself, but I'm just so excited to unpack how you turn that into a full blown business. Can you just introduce yourself real quick to those listening who don't know who you are?
Yes. So my name is Kat Norton, and I'm the founder of Miss Excel, where we make Microsoft Office training fun. We work with tons of consumers as well as businesses around the globe doing either live virtual training sessions, or we have a whole suite of on-demand courses across Microsoft Office, Google Sheets, AI, and a kids course as well.
Amazing. So I have to ask, like, the most burning question in my mind is, where did this start in terms of, like, I'm pretty good at Excel. I think I could make this a thing. I think almost every, being an accountant, a lot of us have thought, I should teach this. I'm decently good at Excel. I extend to like VLOOKUPs and pivots, but you know, there are some people who are really good at it. And I've always said, there's gotta be a business out there for this. So what prompted you to like actually go build it?
Totally. So this really all began during my MBA program where I really just fell in love with Excel. All of my classes were in it. And after that, I went on to work at a global consulting firm where I was doing securitization reviews for banks. And on the side of my day job there for fun, I was a brand new consultant. I built out an Excel training program internally for the company. And I was just like, literally building a training on the bench one day, and a managing director looked over my shoulder and was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, you know, building the little class. And they were like, you got to show that to someone. This is amazing. And next thing you know, the company backed me and had me flying around the US to our offices, hosting in-person live Excel training. So I did that for about 5 years at my corporate job. And then with the start of the pandemic, I found myself back in my childhood bedroom of my parents' house. I was 27 years old, buried in student debt, was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I'd stopped traveling every week for work. So I got to the spot where I was like, okay, you know, I have some extra time on my hands. I'm going to work on myself. And so I dove deep into inner work, really figuring out what lights me up and what was holding me back from actually pursuing these different things. And once I did a ton of different modalities of clearing out these limiting beliefs, I got to the spot where I was like, okay, you know, if I'm like actually unstoppable and I could manifest my reality, do what I want, what do I actually want to create? And I was on the phone with my best friend, Anna, and she was like, what if you put the Excel tips on TikTok? And I was like, yeah, TikTok. I have a corporate job. I'm not making a TikTok. You know, I had so much resistance against it. I didn't even have the app on my phone. And I couldn't stop thinking about it though. Once she said it, it was like a lightning bolt struck my head and I just saw the Excel screen above my head. And I was dancing to that song, Left Foot Up, Right Foot Slide, Tuesday Slide by Drake, to the left and the right function in Excel. And I'm like, I can't shake it. I keep seeing this vision, but like, I don't know how to video edit. I don't know how one would get a screen above your head. So I ended up, you know, a couple days go by and I'm in like turmoil. My brain is like, you cannot make a TikTok. But my gut was like, make the TikTok. And so I'll never forget, it was like a Friday afternoon. My schedule magically clears up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a little dry run of this whole TikTok thing. You know, this is like before I was doing like hair and makeup for anything. This was like month two of the pandemic. So I'm like, I'm not even getting done up for this. I'm just going to do a little dry run, a little test. And I did one in my room. I pushed my furniture into the corner and I was like, oh, you know, this video is actually pretty cool. So I went in the bathroom and did like full glam. My mom was like, what are you doing? It's like a Friday night, early pandemic. Like, where do you think you're going? And I'm just like going after it. And then I get in my room and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make like 10 videos right now. So I quickly just like, they just flowed through me. I made like 10 different videos to music. And then I started posting them one a day on TikTok. And by the fourth video, it reaches 100,000 views. And this is where I didn't tell anyone I was making this TikTok. This was like my secret TikTok because I was like, all right, no one can know I have this. We're just going to play around here. Next thing you know, this video gets pushed to like everyone I work with at my consulting firm. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting these texts like, is this you? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is it me? I don't know. And
so oh my God.
Yeah. So then at that point, two videos later, my sixth video, the CEO of an IT company reaches out and is like, hey, I love your teaching style. I'm looking to create G Suite training products, so like the Google version of everything I was doing for students, parents, and teachers, because this is when all the schools were going digital. And I was like, well, you know, clearly I'm a Microsoft gal, but I can figure out these products too. So I gave him an hourly rate. And next thing you know, I was cranking out videos for this guy after work and selling them back to him. I was still making the Miss Excel content because it was just lighting me up and it started growing a following. And then I was still working my day job, like 40, 50 hours a week too. But I was just like, I remember being so happy because it was just so exciting, you know? And then within a few weeks, I had my first video go viral on TikTok. And I looked down and I had 100,000 followers pretty much overnight. And then I had, you know, everybody being like, well, you know, TikTok's going to get banned. And so I was like, all right, I will, you know, hedge my risk here. So I made an Instagram account as well and then kept going viral on Instagram, TikTok, Instagram, TikTok. Next thing you know, it's like October 2020, a few months later, I had a few hundred thousand followers across the platforms, zero product, zero lead magnet, zero mailing list, was just doing my thing. And a business coach slides in my DMs and was like, hey, I noticed you have like a huge following, zero product, no link in your bio, like nothing. And I was like, oh, touche. So I quickly set up a, you know, a little guide that started growing a mailing list. And I was like, okay, the people are asking for an Excel course. Like this is the next step for me. So I took 2 weeks off from my day job. It was vacation in my living room. And I built out the most fun, engaging, cool Excel course. Cause you know, if you see my content, your girl cannot have a boring course. And so I went through and built this course over a couple weeks and started selling it Black Friday of 2020. And then by January of 2021, so 2 months later, it was bringing in more money per month than my day job was. So at that point, I was like, well, I would be dangerous with 40 hours back in my week. I was like, maybe I just need to take this leap of faith and just quit my job. So I did. And so I quit my job in January of 2021. Everyone was going, what the heck are you doing? Really? You too?
Yeah, same. Same, oh my gosh. Same exact. Yeah, that was the same month I quit.
Wow, we're on the very similar trajectory.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so cool. So yeah, I quit my job and took this full time. And then shortly after, I built out 9 more courses across PowerPoint, Outlook, OneNote, Teams, you know, all the other ones, and started bundling them together and selling it. And when I first quit, the business hadn't even reached 6 figures yet. I ended up starting to do webinars, which got it to that point. And then when I created the other courses, within a year from there, it scaled into a 7-figure business. And now it's a multi 7-figure business and a team of 18. The whole thing just scaled really quick.
Wow. So, okay, there's so much, there's so many pieces here. Here's what stood out to me, that you started with make the damn thing and just do the, like, put it out there. You had no expectation, no attachment to an outcome. And there are so many people listening who are sitting in the idea because it's not quite ready yet. Like, they're still preheating the oven, trying to cook the thing. And they have this idea of what it's going to be. And they're just trying to build it and back into the stuff. What you did was you said, you know what? I got an idea. I'm just going to make a video that helps people, and that's it. And you did it for fun. And you were like, I'm just going to make a few videos because it's fun and because I like it and because this is something I'm pretty good at. And someone told me I should do. You listened to A, your gut, and B, the people who are telling you what they wanted or what they wanted to see from you. And I think that gets overlooked so often. Do you agree?
100%. It's really like taking that messy action is so incredibly important, you know, and just like being able to release something even though it doesn't feel perfect.
And I think it's messy action, but in a way, there's messy action that can be scattered and disjointed. But this was kind of, it was messy action in the sense of it was just put out there with no like crazy expectations, but it was also very, it was calculated in a sense that like you were listening to the thing. Like you could have done a video on anything. You could have followed a video trend and just put out content for the sake of content, but you chose to go, hey, you know what? I'm going to make an account on Miss Excel because this is something I'm really good at. And I'm going to make it all on this theme. I'm going to go into this area. And you took action on that really quickly. I'm very similar. Like I just said, I'm just going to go create stuff. God, if you go onto my Instagram from 4 years ago, you'd be like, this is terrible. But it was like you had to go and start iterating to figure out what people were responding to and then go do more of that and get that feedback cycle. Otherwise, you're going to sit there in the analysis paralysis forever.
100%. It's really like those first few moves you make, because a lot of times too, you can't even predict what your next move is going to be. So a lot of people like stay in that spot where they're like, ooh, you know, I have to have step like 12, 13, and 14 ready because that's what I predict will happen. Where in reality, I could not have predicted a single thing that happened to me.
Got to have a pretty website. Got to have the branding done. You didn't even have, you barely had a name. You were like, I'm just putting TikToks out. I don't have a web funnel. I have none of that set up. Yeah. Now, do you go back and here's a question. Do you go back in time and regret that? Or are you like, I'm glad I didn't have a system in place to collect all that yet. Like, I'm glad I just grew the following and proved the concept first. Like, do you have any regrets over not setting up a funnel sooner?
No, not at all. Because like one is everything had to happen the way it happened for me to get to where I am now. But two, I think it left me in this place of like pure detachment from financial outcome, where it just allowed it to scale so freely. And I was so taken care of by my day job already that I had no scarcity whatsoever. Like, yeah, I was buried in student debt living in my parents' house. I wasn't like, you know, living the life, but I was taken care of, you know, like I was like, I have food on the table, you know, I'm able to give back to my family, like everything's okay. So like not having that scarcity really helped too. And I think just going in totally detached, that by the time I was like, you know what, like, this is going to be a business. I had so much like pent up there and just built up energetically that it just exploded. And then that was like, I was like, whoa, okay, this can make a lot of money. Let's quit the job, you know? Like, so it kind of had to happen that way, I believe.
Yeah, it's almost like the content comes before the business idea, because you have to almost vet out like, oh, this could be a business, as opposed to forcing something into a business. We're like, I just want to create a business for the sake of doing that. And then you have to figure out what you want to do. I say it's always better to start with whatever people are asking for and then be like, could I turn that into a business? Or what am I good at? Or what do I enjoy doing? And I love that this started with in your career, paying attention to like, this is what I do. This is what I'm known for in my corporate career. Yeah. Now I'm going to bring that outside of it. What was the response like when you left? Like, was it expected from your corporate job? Like, was there, like, were they watching you build this? Because you said that your corporate colleagues saw the videos. That was a huge fear of mine and a big fear for people in corporate that are like, I hope no one sees this. Like, I'm not on LinkedIn because my coworkers are there. Like, what was your feeling around that? And how did that kind of play out for you?
It was really funny. Like the quitting was one of my favorite days because it was just such a like I felt like it was like Hannah Montana. Like I had this secret life that nobody knew about. So that was like my big Hannah Montana moment. And like, it was funny because half my group, I was in like a pretty tight-knit group of about 30 of us doing these securitization reviews. And we were like the always on the road ones. So like 30 of us every week, I was with a different team at a different client in a different state. And it was just, you know, we all got pretty close because we'd all like work with each other. And I'd say about like half my group knew and was like, oh, cute. She has a TikTok. And then the other half had zero clue. So when I was making my phone calls that day, like I was like, hey, Steve, do you know about me on the internet? And so I'm like, what? Where other people.
What are you going to do? Like, while you're leaving, like, what are you going to do? And it's like, Google me.
It's like my own company, you know? But it was like, and this was before I had any press or anything. Like, it was really still like, I hadn't made six figures yet. It was definitely in the baby phase. But they were so supportive. Like it just, you know, they were incredible. Everyone was like, go get it. Like you're going to have a Ferrari one day. Like they're really sweet, which made it so much like nicer. And they're, you know, if you ever want to come back. And then it was funny. The company actually hired me back as a vendor and now pays me to do Excel trainings at the company, which is nice.
Ain't that a plot twist? I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart of them because they're like, we know she's good at this. So one would think that, okay, here's an interesting thought too, because like it's crossed my mind and I've had coworkers much like you who are like, there's always an Excel whiz at the table. I worked in consulting for 6 years. I'm like, there's one person who you give the tables to that person. You're like, have Kat go do that for you or ask Kat how to do that. And I know this person in the consulting firm. Like I kind of like picture this persona. And there's always those people going, you should like make courses about this and do that. And no one ever does it. And I'm like, why not? And I'm thinking too, did you ever go through this process of, well, a lot of people know this. Like, why would I teach it? You know, there's plenty of Excel experts out there. There's probably tons of people who offer this training. You are not the first person to teach someone how to do a pivot table. So why you, why then? Did any of that hold you back as you started it to think, well, who am I to be the person who offers this? Like, you know, there's plenty of other people doing it.
So I think part of it when I started too was there was no one teaching Excel on TikTok. And when I first realized that, I was like, okay, do they not like Excel on TikTok? Is this the wrong audience? Or did I think of something cool? So like that was part of it. But really going into it too, like I was just having fun. Like it wasn't even, I had done a ton of inner work to get myself to a spot where I felt really unstoppable. I was like, I could do anything I want on the planet. What do I want to do? So I didn't have as much limiting beliefs at that stage of the game, but it was really coming into it being like, okay, no one's doing this. And what am I doing to make it different? I'm dancing in the videos. So like my first, you know, 100 videos, it was all like, I didn't speak. And I was just dancing and the Excel was above my head. Like I remember the first time I spoke in a video, it was like years in and people thought I was British the whole time. And when I spoke, they're like, what? You're American? But like it just flowed out of me and was my own like fun, creative expression. And I've never seen someone dance to an Excel function. So I do think having your own like little twist on what makes you unique, that was like one of my first differentiators. And then the second I started opening my mouth and teaching, people were like, oh my gosh, like I want to listen to her. She's really engaging. She makes the subject really fun. And then now what we could do with our courses and everything with AI, like we make them really immersive. We gamify the experience. We build like worlds inside of Excel that you're going through to keep our customers engaged. So like I continue to grow my style to keep differentiating myself. But I think having that initial thing that, and I mean, it doesn't mean everyone has to dance, right? For me, like if you ask me what I love, it was excel, dancing, and helping people. So combining those three was just like a really natural thing for me to do. And it felt really good. And then that authenticity shined through in the videos. And I think that's what really helped it jump off the ground.
It does. And having watched your content too, I was like, I have never seen someone so excited to dance to whatever it is. Like you're just going under the thing and doing like the left and right pointing. Yeah. And I'm like, this is so well done because it's eye-catching and it's engaging. But what I love about it is you didn't go Google how to create viral content. You didn't go and like learn something that's like, oh, you point and you move like this and you dance. It's like, I'm just going to have fun on video and do whatever I feel like doing. And it just translates. And I think that people miss that you have to show your personality. And even if it's like not dancing to Excel functions, but it's doing something else, like it will resonate with someone and the people that you want it to. And I can't say that enough. It's so true. And I do the same thing with my content. Like I try to make accounting stuff relatively fun. I mean, you're listening to this, if you're listening right now, that we try to make it approachable. So I love what you do being similar because it's just like what is seemingly boring, which is spreadsheets, and actually kind of going, oh, that's interesting. I couldn't tell you how many of your videos, by the way, I send to my team. And I'm like, watch this. And I'm like, figure out how to do that.
We got to do that.
And so it's really helpful and it's bite-sized. When did you know that this was going to be like straight up business? Like straight up, this is going to be my full-time thing. I'm going to grow a team. Like was there a point where it clicked for you that this is more than a moonlighting TikTok situation and this is going to become an income generator?
When I did my first webinar. Like I was still a one-woman show at that point. I was doing all the marketing, every video editing, creating the content every day on all the platforms. And it was around April of 2021, I did my first webinar. And I think it pulled in around $50,000 in an hour. And that's where I was like, whoa. Because of my corporate job, I was like, just making six figures. And I was like, I just did that in an hour? What? And then I was like, imagine if I actually like tinkered with this and got this lined up. Like that was my first shot out the gate. So at that point, I was like, okay, there's absolutely something here. And then when I created more courses and got my price points higher, that's where we really started to scale dramatically.
I love it. And, you know, tell me about when you talk about iterating it and like putting the work in, what did that look like for you in terms of the, you know, the feedback loop of, okay, let's tweak this or tweak that. Like, were you measuring data metrics? I know you probably had a spreadsheet on the background, but what did that look like for you to go, we got something here. And then what did you do next with it?
So it's actually really funny. For the longest time in the business, like I'd say the first like two-ish years, I really wasn't tracking anything. Everyone was so surprised. I ran the entire business on my intuition and scaled it with intuition. So wow. I'm really deep in the spiritual space and like I'm super passionate about it as well. And I really just didn't even know any better like than to just do things intuitively. So like, do I take this partnership? Yes or no? Like my body would tell me yes or no. And I was attracting all the opportunities that I wanted. So it was always just growing really quickly because if I wanted the business to grow, I wouldn't work on the business. I would work on me because that would attract the opportunities. And so the feedback loop was actually more so intuitive where like I would make a change in me. An opportunity would come through. Do I have the resources to do it? I will make it happen. Do that. Okay, next step. New opportunity comes through. And like there were all things I couldn't predict. So it was kind of like this dance of scaling it. And then a couple years in, like, I mean, obviously I would see the big number, right? Like how much money did we make on a webinar? And that I was able to be like, okay, like they must have liked the topic or oh, like that. I had no clue where the leads were coming from. Like for the longest time, like were they on from TikTok? Were they from intuitively? I had my guess, which then when I went back and tested it with data and I was correct. So like intuitively, I knew where everything was coming from in what order from most to least mm-hmm. by the time we actually like put out UTMs and the tracking links and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I hired a marketing agency that I've been working with who does all of our like, you know, tracking and funnels and stuff like that now. So now we actually had ads and things. When you start running paid ads, it definitely helps to not try to run on intuition. So that's really where we started getting more into it. And then now we're really diving into funnels has been our latest. So we're building out crazy spider webs of funnels and things because I do still think we are leaving a lot of money on the table in terms of not having funnels. So that's been our latest, like building that part out.
I love that. And it's almost granting people permission listening to this to not have all the infrastructure built just yet. Like, you don't have to have the whole thing with all the rooms and all the different channels and all the different funnels. You need to have an offer people want to buy and a way to deliver it to them. That's basically it. A way to accept payment and a way to deliver the offer. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
And how long did you operate with basically just those two things?
I'd say for the first, like, I mean, without a team member was for the first year. So I was just kind of doing, I would design the course, create it. And I still, every one of my courses besides our most recent, I still edited myself. So I did 9 in 9 weeks. I just rinse and repeated. Wow. It was, there were like 100 video courses. I just got like my game face on and was like, this is what the people want. You pre-sell the bundles too, which obviously puts a little fire under you to get them out. And yeah, I just got into like a flow state with course creation and was able to really just like hone in, perfect the craft and just get them rolling. So that I'd say for the first year I was running solo, and then I brought on a graphic designer to help with real covers from the Philippines, my Jean, she's amazing, still with me. We actually still have every single person I've ever hired. No one's ever left. And then, yeah, we have the best team. And then we brought on, now we're a team of 18 between our corporate trainers. We have a sales team now that's been a more recent under my partner, Mike. So he works with me full time as well. And he was just running our entire corporate division. So we had 250 corporate clients that he closed, from like Kraft Heinz, like huge companies, enterprise rent-a-car, to smaller companies. And we were like, well, imagine how much the B2B side could grow if we brought in people under you. So now we have 5 other people that work under him closing corporate deals. And then we hired 3 other trainers under me to start doing like live trainings to like pull me out of the business a little more.
Very cool. So you've got a lot of people that are now implementing your kind of style of teaching.
Oh yeah.
What do you see for the future? Is there like a Miss Excel certification or Miss Excel army that you're going to go deploy to go teach people these skills?
So, I mean, I really feel like with all the groundwork we just laid in the last like 6 months, we're about to quantum leap, like between 5Xing our sales team, adding 3 more corporate trainers. So now we can be like doing things at all times, because Mike was booking me. Mike was the number one ranked sales rep in North America at the company he was with prior, and is insanely good at sales. So he was just selling me all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, now I have all these trainings. So now having 3 other people just like energetically opened up a lot in the business, because I was the one like having to deliver on all these things. So now I'm like much more high ticket. So typically we book our trainers out now. And then I can focus more so on like zone of genius area. So like, this is where now I'm in this fun spot of like playing with the energy and figuring out, okay, what partnerships are we calling in? Where is the vision of the business going? And like actually being more in a CEO role.
Most accountants will try to bill you for those quick questions or make you feel like you're bothering them. And the truth is that the quick questions are what I love about what we do. That's why I created a new and accessible offer for you to be able to message me your questions and get the support you need when you need it. It's called the CFO On Demand. You can now get affordable help and access to me and my team without a high monthly fee. You can also upgrade and get access to a private one-on-one office hours to bring your specific strategies to the table. Want to learn more? Head to thecfoondemand.com or click the link in the show notes. Again, that's the CFO On Demand. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review on your podcast platform. This small action goes a long way for podcasters to get our message heard by more business owners just like you. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to information about our guests and ways to get in touch with me. We'll see you on the next episode.